Good morning, family. What a joy again to bring you the Word of God this morning. And I trust that you have really been enjoying your time with the Lord. It's been more than 4 weeks now that we've been confined and locked down. But I trust that in your hearts you haven't been locked down and confined, and that God has been opening up amazing revelations of His goodness and His love to you in this time. I want to share with us in the next few weeks just a few thoughts from Matthew chapter 24, and I've entitled the series The Signs of the Times. And this morning I want to read for us from Matthew chapter 24 from verse 4 to verse 8. So I want to ask you just to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24 from verse 4 to verse 8, and let's read that together, and let's realize that Jesus talked here to his disciples about the signs of the times, because they asked him. They said, Jesus, what is it going to be like when we, you know, when you come back again? What are the end of the age going to look like? And when is it going to be? And Jesus doesn't give anything away about when he's going to come back. But he does say there are going to be specific things that are going to happen before his return and before the end of the age. And I'm sure you want to know what that is, because we're living in historical times, unprecedented times, and challenging times, I might add. I'm sure many of us are being challenged on all areas and in every area of your life right now. And it's important to understand what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and doing in these times. So let's read together from Matthew chapter 24, from verse 4. And Jesus says the following to his disciples. He says, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." Interesting that Jesus tells us two things here specifically. And he says there's going to be a lot of trouble. There's going to be a lot of wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be earthquakes. And specifically he mentions here in the New King James Version that there are going to be pestilences, exactly as we are experiencing at this moment. And he says two things for us. First of all, he says, do not be deceived. That's the one thing he says to us. And the second thing he says to us is that we are not to be troubled. He says, see that you are not troubled, and take heed that you're not deceived in these times. And so I want to look at our hearts this morning. I want you to examine your heart in this time, because I believe the Lord is really wanting to test us and challenge us in this time, because God loves us and God wants us to know these things. Amen. Isn't that so? So let's look at our hearts this morning. So the title of this morning's message is called Guard Your Heart. Because in these times, it's so important for us to guard our hearts and to bring our hearts before the Lord Jesus Christ in this time. Because we are being challenged. Our hearts are being challenged in this time. Isn't that so? There is a lot of fear. There is anxiety. There is uncertainty. There is worry. And in Jeremiah chapter 17, it says specifically in verse 9, it says here, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And then further on in verse 10, the Lord says, "I, the Lord, search the hearts. I test the minds of my people." And that is what God is using this time for at the moment. He's wanting to search our hearts, to test us as to the fruit of our lives. And it's in these challenging times. It's like when you squeeze an orange or a lemon, you know, what comes out? The juice of that fruit. And the juice of our lives is coming out in this time. We are being squeezed from all sides. It's like the perfect storm. But what a blessing to be in a perfect storm, because it's squeezing out that which God wants to squeeze out of us at this time. So I want you to allow the Lord, and I want you also to search your heart in this time and to see what is coming out. Because the Bible says if we're not to be deceived, then where are we going to be deceived? We're going to be deceived in our hearts, because the Bible also says that the heart is deceitful. And therefore, in our hearts, we can become deceived. In our hearts, we can also become troubled. Isn't that so? And Jesus said, don't be deceived, don't be troubled in these times. And there's a lot of deception going around, a lot of prophecies and false prophecies. And conspiracy theories and all these things going around. And we can easily be deceived. We can easily be led astray. I just want to share with you the definition of what it means to be deceived. To deceive means to deliberately cause someone to believe something that is not true, especially for personal gain. And there's a lot of that going around. Deception has been around since Jesus said these words. And deception is even going to increase. And then it also says, or another definition, the Greek word specifically here says to cause to roam from safety, truth, or virtue, or to go astray, or to seduce, or to wander off. Deception is when we are caused to stray from safety, to go astray from safety, truth, and virtue. And I pray and I trust that none of us will be deceived in this time, but the reality is that it's clear Jesus warned his disciples, do not be deceived. Therefore, he was trying to say that there was a possibility that they could be deceived. And he said, don't be afraid, don't be troubled, because there's a possibility that you will be troubled in challenging times. And if you are being troubled and you're fearful and worrying, then bring it to Jesus, because he said there's a possibility, there's a very real chance that we'll be troubled. But he encouraged us and he says, don't be troubled, because these things must come to pass. In the book of Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy and he says that in the last days, people will even depart from the faith, giving heed over to deceptive and demonic spirits. There will be deception in these last days. And that same Paul writes to Timothy in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, and he says, in these last days, people will be lovers of themselves, they'll be lovers of money, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And I believe the Lord is speaking to us in these times, and specifically this morning, and he's encouraging us to guard our hearts in these times. Amen. And many of us are fearful and worried and challenged specifically regarding something that I want to mention this morning. I want to look at that this morning specifically, something that can easily trouble us and that is troubling many people at this time. And that is the whole thing of money and finances. So where we are not to be troubled is a lot of things, but specifically this COVID-19 and this pandemic throughout the earth is causing a lot of stress, but specifically in the area of finances. The economies of the world are taking massive strain right now. The government this week gave 500 billion rand for the alleviation of poverty because people are desperate. People are living on the breadline. There are people that haven't even got food and drink and basic needs at this time. And it's causing stress and it's causing anxiety throughout the world. People are losing their jobs. Even rich people are losing their income. People are having to pay off massive bonds and relying on salaries to pay off stuff. And suddenly these jobs are no longer. People are being retrenched. Companies are struggling. There's massive pressure financially on all of us. And that can very easily cause us to be deceived and our hearts to grow hard. It can cause us a lot of trouble and stress and anxiety. And maybe you there this morning, maybe you're worrying and you need to be honest this morning. You and I need to be honest with where our hearts are at. We need to guard our hearts because they are very easily deceived and easily troubled. Isn't that so? But Jesus made a way. And so I want you to break up into the groups that you're in this morning. I want you to discuss with your families or with people that you're with, or hopefully you're not alone this morning, but if you are, then bring it before the Lord. But pause this video or this audio just for 5 or 10 minutes or however long you need. And I want you to discuss one question right now. What are you worried about in this time? Won't you do that for a few minutes and then we'll chat later again. I trust that you enjoyed your discussions with each other and that you were honest with where your heart is at the moment, and that the worries and the fears and the anxieties and the troubles that you may be feeling because of the pressures of these end times that we're living in are real for you. And it's important to be real. Don't sweep it under the carpet. Bring it out into the light. But it's important that we bring it to Jesus as well. And so this morning, maybe you're worrying about relationships. Maybe you're worrying about financial provision or food or basic needs. Maybe you're worrying about, can you just be free again? Can you get out of this challenge of being confined to your house? Maybe there's a lot of stress on your life, but I want you to bring every fear and worry and anxiety before the Lord this morning. But I want you to be honest in terms of financial pressure at the moment. Where are you in terms of financial pressure and your relationship towards money? And is money not perhaps something that's become so big in your life and such a worry that it's being exposed now? That love of money and that reliance on money primarily. And yes, all of us need to rely. We need to have money to live and to survive. We need to have food and clothes. But possibly money has become such a big thing in your life. Then I want you to allow the Lord to press that button right now, because He's pressing that financial button throughout the nations of the world. He's pressing that economic button. And I believe God is wanting us just to return to Him in this time. We don't know what's going to happen after this. We don't know how long this is going to be and how much pressure and strain there's going to be on nations and governments and individuals, especially those who live from hand to mouth. But God is pressing this button of our relationship with money in this time. And I believe we need to respond to it. I believe we need to guard our hearts specifically in this area, not to be deceived or troubled in this area of our lives. Jesus spoke so much about money, you know. He warned us throughout the Gospels about this thing of our relationship with money. There are more scriptures in the four Gospels, over 1,200 and even more. If you take each individual scripture and you add it up, there's more than 1,200 times Jesus talks about money, finances, or stewardship, or how we manage our lives, and specifically when it comes to our finances and our money. 11 of the 39 Gospels are all about finances and money and stewardship. Isn't that hectic to think about it? 11 of his 39 parables. And one in every seven verses in the book of Luke alone speaks about money. One in every seven of the verses in the book of Luke, Jesus mentions money. That is really a statement that Jesus is trying to tell us, that this is an important aspect of our lives and something we need to look at, something that we need to say, how is the condition of our heart? And specifically the love of money, because one amazing statement Jesus mentioned is in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 specifically. And he says something powerful. He says, you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve me and money. And I want us to think about that right now. As if we're serving God, then we need to say mammon and money must be our servant. We cannot have it our master. We cannot let money rule our lives. And a good test for you to check your heart towards money is, how easily does money stick to your hand? I heard an amazing saying once, and that is that if money sticks to your hand, it's got a hold on your heart. So put your hand on your heart now and ask yourself the question, does money stick to my hand and therefore it has a hold on my heart? Or does money flow out of my hand and out of my heart easily? Can I give easily? Am I free of the love of money and a potential idol in my life, which can easily bring me a lot of trouble and a lot of deception? So how's your relationship with money? Because Jesus says you cannot serve me and mammon. And the God of mammon is being challenged at the start. And Jesus is wanting us to get back to Him. Amen. And then I want to share with you a few thoughts from the rest of Matthew chapter 6, just after verse 24, where Jesus says, it's important that you serve me and my Father in heaven. It's important that you serve God rather than mammon, because you cannot serve both. Because you're either going to love the one and hate the other, or be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. But then in the context of that, Jesus goes on and he says something so profound. He shares a few passages of scripture with us. And I believe that is what he wants to encourage you with this morning. He says, don't worry. Go and read Matthew chapter 6 from verse 25 to verse 34. And he specifically says, don't worry about basic needs. Don't worry about food and clothes and drink. Food and drink and then clothes. Don't worry about your provision. Don't worry about the basic needs of life. And he's trying to say to us that those are things that he's going to provide. He's going to provide for our basic needs, which is something to eat and drink and something to wear. And if you're worrying about that at the moment, I want to encourage you and challenge you and say, Lord, help me to bring this worry to you. Because he specifically says, don't worry. I will provide for you. And he goes on to explain how he provides, how his Father in heaven provides for the birds of the air. He provides food and drink for the birds of the air. How much more is he not going to provide for you? Oh, you have little faith, he says. because you, I love you more than the birds of the air. You're the pinnacle of my creation. I'm going to provide food and drink for you. And then he goes on to say, I clothe the lilies of the field. They look beautiful. They look glorious, even more glorious than Solomon himself. How much more am I not going to clothe you, O you of little faith? So Jesus promises that his Father in heaven is going to provide food and drink, and he's going to provide clothes for us to wear. And then he says, don't worry about these things like the Gentiles do, because they run after these things. They run after many more than just the basic need. And we as believers should not run after anything of this world. We should run after Jesus himself and his kingdom. Because in verse 33, he ends off this piece by saying, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Isn't that so profound? Isn't that so simple? But sometimes so difficult to do, right? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And guess what? All these things will be added to you. And I believe we serve a God of abundance, right? Do you know God as a God of abundance? He says, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and life in abundance. He doesn't just want to meet our needs. He wants to bless us with our wants and our desires as well. But he promises here that if we're worrying about these things, if we're seriously serving the God of this age and the God of this world, mammon, then he can't help us. He wants us not to worry and to trust him, because he will provide these things that we need, but even those things that we want. Unless, of course, it's going to lead us astray. Sometimes God will withhold stuff from us because he knows it's not a good desire. But he protects us and he provides for us in amazing ways. And he's asking us at this time to seek first his kingdom above everything else. Amen. So if you have worry and fear about money specifically this morning, I want you to bring your heart before the Lord. But I want you to do three practical things this morning. So in closing, I want to share with you three things which I believe the Lord wants us to, how he wants us to respond to this situation, this squeezing specifically of our finances and our situation and our hearts, especially with regard to money. I want you to respond in three ways. The first way, when God is squeezing and pressing these buttons of our relationship with money specifically, then I want you to do one thing this morning. Well, the first thing I want you to do is to surrender everything to Jesus Christ. Walk in faith this morning and not in fear. Amen. Respond in faith and not in fear. And how you do that is by surrendering everything to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And even if you've done that, even if you feel you're sorted, there's, you know, everything is surrendered to God, do it again this morning. Surrender your finances. Surrender your house and your car. Surrender all your possessions. Surrender your bank account. Surrender your heart and say, Jesus, be Lord of my life. Be Lord specifically of my finances, that I can guard my heart against the deceptiveness of the love of this world and the love of money. So do that first of all. Surrender right now. Even do it right now. Surrender everything to Jesus Christ, to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And then the second thing is, ask God for wisdom as to your situation right now, your current financial situation. Ask him for the wisdom that you need to make decisions. The Holy Spirit is abounding in wisdom. Just read the book of Proverbs. There's wisdom for every situation of our lives. And there is wisdom in the Word of God. And ask him by his Spirit to give you wisdom as to how you need to respond with your finances in this time. Amen. Because you might be wealthy, you might have a lot of money, or you might have very little money. And each situation is going to be very specific. God is going to give you wisdom. And then the third thing, I want you to look at your budget and to take action on your budget right now. Because if this situation, if this tough time hasn't caused you to reflect and to look at your finances in this time, then I want to plead with you, friend, do it now. Don't wait until this thing is over. This thing might take very long. And I can tell you, when it's over, things are going to look different. The world is going to be a different place. And that is God's way of getting our attention and saying to us, it's time to look at how we spend our money, how we steward our money. So I want you to do the third thing is take your budget. And students, if you haven't got a budget, get a budget. Draw up a budget, a simple income and expenses. How much allowance do you get? What is your salary? However you get income, put it down on paper and draw up your expenses. How much do you really need every month? And draw up that budget and then do three things. So number three is draw up your budget, look at your budget, act on your budget, and do three things when you do that. Number one, look at your needs and your wants and cut out all the stuff that is unnecessary. Amen. All you need truly is food and clothes and protection and provision, and God gives that. Amen. So look at what you need and look at what you want and say, Lord, help me to discern what do I really need and what is simply a luxury, and cut out the luxuries where possible. Amen. Why don't you do that this morning? That's the first thing. Secondly, if you're in debt this morning, get out of debt as soon as possible. However that looks, and it's different for each person, but ASAP, get out of unnecessary debt. And ask a financial advisor, seek ways in which you can be more effective in your spending, but don't be in unnecessary debt in this time. I really want to appeal to you. Be free from the hold that money has on our lives. The Bible actually says we need to owe no one anything except to love one another. So don't owe people a lot of money. You need to be a good steward of what you're, where you're spending your money. So take a look at that debt and try to get out of debt as soon as possible. And then the last thing, and this is really important, is to give. Three ways in which you can give, right? Give to the church. Bring your tithes and offerings to the storehouse. Give to the house of God. Keep giving abundantly. Amen. Especially if you've got money. Don't neglect and don't walk in fear and say, I'm going to stop all my giving. Look at your budget and make sure you prioritize giving into the storehouse, the local church. Amen. Where you get your food. Give to the house of God. Secondly, give offerings. Give to kingdom initiatives, give where God's kingdom is moving, over and above what you're already giving to your local church. Give to other organizations. That's an offering. And then bring your alms to the poor at this time. There are so many poor people. And guys, we as a church, we want to make sure that people within our church are sorted and are covered and don't go hungry and naked and all these terrible things. But we also want to give out there to the community. We want to be a blessing to the poor people out there. So give to alms. And that doesn't only mean money. It can mean food and clothing, whatever the Lord lays on your heart. Bring your alms to the table. Bring your offerings. Bring your tithes. Give. And I want to say to you this morning, invest in heavenly treasures. Invest in heavenly initiatives, eternal stuff, kingdom initiatives, not on the things of this world. And I'm not saying don't invest at all, but I can tell you the investments of this world and this earth are being seriously shaken. Be wise as to how you invest. But if you want to invest, I want to encourage you, invest where the moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal, because that is the treasure that's ultimately going to bring you blessing and maybe be a blessing to so many other people. And I want to appeal to you this morning. If you are struggling, speak to us. We would love to help you. Whoever you are, wherever you are, we will try and make a plan. We'll trust God that we can be like the church in Acts, where no one had lack. Everyone was covered in terms of their basic needs. And let's be that church. Let's let this love of money that sometimes wants to creep in, let's let this deceptiveness of troubled times and of tough times, let's lay it aside and say, Lord, we bring our worries and our fears and our anxieties about the squeezing time before you. And we trust, Lord, that you would take us through this and help us, Lord, in this time to be a blessing. So I trust this morning that you would guard your heart in the area of deception. You would guard your heart in the area of any trouble and anxiety that you are facing right now, but particularly in the area of our finances. So I want to pray for us this morning, and I trust that God would really do something amazing in our hearts in this time. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you've called us in these last days, like you spoke to the disciples, to not be deceived, to not be troubled, Lord. Because, Lord, so many things are going to happen, so many terrible things are going to happen, but you promised in these times that they must come to pass. These are only the beginning of sorrows. But, Lord, you want us to focus right now on what we can control, and that is the condition of our hearts. Lord, we say, and we bring our hearts before you, and we say, Lord, we want to guard our hearts now. We want to realize, Lord, that our hearts are so deceptive and our hearts are desperately wicked. But you know us, Lord. Search us and see if there's any wicked way inside us. Search us and see if there are idols in our lives, Lord. But specifically, that of worry and that of anxiety at this time, Lord, where people are taking strain, I pray, God, that you'd bless people, give them wisdom. When they take out their budgets, God, I pray that you would show them how to make changes and how to make wise decisions that will glorify your name. And Lord, most of all, help us to give in this time. So many of us have so much. Help us to give, Lord. And those who haven't, Lord, help them to receive that which you want to give to them in this time. In the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you so much. Thank you for your time again this morning. We'll carry on next week again. So have a wonderful week, and guard your heart above all else. Amen. Be blessed. Thanks a lot.